This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
I grew up on 48th and Osage, so it's nice to be back home. I'm going to jump right in and give you a little setup of what you're about to hear, just to put it in context, because I'm doing an excerpt from a much larger piece that's still in development, which is why I don't have it memorized, because there's been a lot of changes and rearranging. So I'll just read, I'll open up by reading the opening stage directions of The Peculiar Patriot and jump right in. And I've taken different sections of the play and put it together, so what you're hearing doesn't necessarily flow like that in the original piece, but I'm just taking different excerpts to make a nice little presentation for you all to give you a little idea of what the play is. The Peculiar Patriot. Setting: prison visiting room at a woman's facility upstate New York. The prison environment exists inside of a rabbit hole that comes to life via video monitors and a magical vending machine. The stage lighting is stark and cold. The murmurs of other visitors can be heard, along with the jingling of keys from the correctional officers. Sound cue of a prison gate slamming shut is heard, followed by an electronic buzz, followed by another gate slamming, emphasizing the security and the sense of being locked in. Lights up on Betsy LaQuanda Ross, the protagonist, going through a security check. Ritual one. She removes certain articles of clothing, her belt, shoes, jewelry, and a large see-through Ziploc bag containing money, lip gloss, and tissues, and places them into a bin to be x-rayed. She spreads her arms and legs as she's being wanded down by a correctional officer. We hear the beep of a wand, and she shakes her bra and unbuttons her pants as the officer checks her waistband. The audience sees the ugly process. Betsy collects her items from the bin and quickly puts them back on as she enters the visiting room floor and takes a seat. She waits and waits. She periodically waves to a familiar visitor. We feel the weight of waiting. Suddenly, Betsy sees Joanne and waves. Look at you. You look so pretty. You got your hair all done up. It looks nice. You braided it yourself. Turn around. Ooh, I like the little zigzag action. That's cute. Girl, I'm so sorry it took me so long to get back up here to see you. You know that's not like me. Nasir said he was coming to see you, and he invited me both times. But I figured, you know, let me fall back so you could spend some time with your husband. You know you my homie, Pastrami, Wonder Twin Power for life. You know how we rock. I miss you so much. But how you doing? You all right? Yeah, well, you look good, too. Yo, how did that situation turn out with you and that young chick you was working with in the hair salon? Y'all squashed that beef? Oh, that's good, because you know I ain't want to have to come up here and put the Vaseline on my face like, what, do a prison break-in? Okay, as long as you good. Child, I'm fine. I got so much to tell you. Wait. Girl, first, I have a surprise for you. Mm-hmm. About 2 weeks ago, I'm up in Harlem, and I run into Miss Jefferson. You remember Miss Jefferson? She was my guidance counselor when I was locked up in juvie. That was my baby, Miss Jefferson. She was like my jail mother, keeping me out of trouble when I was running up and down the hallways. Child, she used to bring in homemade cookies and cornbread for the girls in her quilting class. But since I was her favorite, I was like, Miss Jefferson, can I live? She was like, Betsy, if you want some of these treats, you have to come to class and sew. I was like, well, give me a needle and some thread because I wanted some of that cornbread. Girl, you know I wasn't hardly thinking about no quilting class up in juvenile detention. But then I got up in that class and I got hooked. Okay. I'm getting to it. Okay, so boom. Me and Miss J, we standing there on 125th. And she asked me, was I still quilting? Which honestly I haven't done since juvie. She ain't like hearing that. Told me I needed to get some fabric pronto. So I got to thinking about quilting again, and guess who's going to be the first patch on it? You. Okay, so look. I gave you an orange full moon because you're full of potential, and I put 3 shooting stars, 1 for each of your kids. That's Mookie, that's Junebug, and that's Nene. You like it? Thank you, boo. I was so happy I ran into Miss Jefferson. She screamed, "Is that my Betsy Ross?" Mm-hmm. That's who gave me my nickname, Betsy Ross. Because, girl, I had made a quilt in memory of my father, and I sewed a bunch of Black Panther designs on the different squares. It was mad fly, yo. She said my quilt was like a Black Panther liberation flag, and I was the best quilter. So she started calling me Betsy since my last name was Ross. She thought that shit was cute. Her class was mad dope, yo. We'd be up in there eating, sewing, having a good old time, talking about every and anything under the sun. And Miss J was real Afrocentric, always teaching us about Black history and stuff like that. She used to sound just like my dad sometimes. And when I told her my dad was a Black Panther and told her all that happened to him, she took me under her wing like I was her special project. I mean, I can appreciate it now, but at the time, that shit felt like a punishment. Cause she went in on trying to school me, giving me extra reading assignments. I mean, I went along with it because she used to let me call my grandmother from her office all the time. And then she would sneak me, you know, new underwear and regular sanitary napkins so I ain't have to use them fucked up jail pads. Ooh, I love me some Miss J. And she told us how the quilts was used during the Underground Railroad. Y'all, they would sew secret messages and codes into the patterns. So when the slaves was running through the woods trying to escape, if they got to a house and saw one of those quilts hanging outside, they knew that house was safe to go to. Y'all, Miss Jefferson was deep. And you know how niggas be like, you know, ooh, 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 ay, ow, ay, ow, running from the cops. Well, she said that those are ancient tribal calls from back in Africa, and we're still doing it and don't even realize the connection. Yep. Ooh, 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 ooh. And look, I gave you a yellow ribbon because you're coming home soon. So I got to tie a yellow ribbon around that old oak tree. Girl, don't start crying. We said we wasn't going to cry this visit. I'm going to punch you on your neck. You're trying to get me to cry already. Okay. We're not going to go there. Your asthma ain't been acting up, has it? Okay. Huh? Actually, I am. I'm dating this guy named Pablo. He is fine. Wait a minute. You remember when we watched that John Singleton movie, Baby Boy, together? Okay, well, you remember that scene when Ving Rhames was scrambling eggs, naked in the kitchen, drinking that Kool-Aid? Arms like ba-bow. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. And got pretty teeth. Got all of them, too. He ain't no snaggle tooth. And his hair, silky and nappy. He got them smooth buttermilk cornrows. He's a Black Indian baby. What you saying, girl? He looked just like Tyrone that beard by the Red Rooster. Yes, baby. What? Sitting Bull, but blacker. Crazy horse mixed with Africa. Choctaw, Mississippi, Buffalo Soldier. Holla! And genteel, girl, talking about he knows a deer that'll eat right from his hand. And girl, you know them deers be scared. Not with him. He told me you ain't never lived till you had a form. Nibble apple pieces out the palm of your hand. A form. F-A-W-N. Girl, it's a baby deer like Bambi. Yeah. Listen to the quiet of the forest or watch a cow give birth. He's an animal lover. He who talk with squirrels type of brother, nature boy. Girl, you know me too well. He got his ass locked up selling drugs. I said, oh, don't let the he who talk with squirrels fool you. Yeah, he showed me some pictures. Papa Don used to push a fat whip. He had a fully equipped black expedition, Rolex on the wrist, bling bling, diamond studded jewels, iced the fuck out, talking about he was a gun-toting urban pharmacist with a crew of soldiers on the payroll. I said, well, now, ain't that a dichotomy? From bullets, go to Bambi. So I told Pablo, I said, look, if you want to be with me and you want this relationship to work, I need to be convinced that you are ready to commit to non-destructive, healthy choices in your life and that you've left all that illegal criminal hustling in the past. See, because you are not the first jailbird, ex-con, class A, B, C, D felon I done dealt with, and I will know if you fucking up before you even fuck up, so don't play me. Now, you might not be addicted to drugs, but you damn sure might still be addicted to the game, and I will know the difference, because candy sprinkles on top of some shit ain't gonna have the stink. And I prefer what? I prefer paying for honesty over sugar-coated deceit anyway. And since you can't build truth on top of lie, and I'm about building the truth, then just come real with your shit, Poppy. Come real with your shit. I am not here to judge you. That is one thing that Betsy LaCroix de Ross does not do is judge, because the Bible says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. But I am vengeful, because I got Scorpio rising, and I can lay in a cup for 10 years to get you back if you cross me. And trust me, it won't take me 10 years to get you back if you cross me. He was like, what, you threatening me? You trying to get gangster on me? I said, no, I'm not trying to get gangster on you. I'm just trying to let you know what you're dealing with up front so you can decide whether or not you want to have a cup of tea with me. Now, have you accepted the challenge to constructively participate in strengthening the community and productively contribute to society by using your entrepreneurial genius and your political street savvy to rebuild the ghetto nation and teach the youth options beyond the drug culture? Girl, he was like, yeah. Oh, shit. So, girl, you know, I had to drop it like it's hot, cold butter bean. Come and get your supper. Shut up, girl. I know. I broke my rule. I know I did. After that shit with Curtis, who was my one exception to the rule, I did say that I promised myself I was not going to get romantically involved with no more guys coming fresh out the pen. I said no more PPP. I told you, I said no more post-penitentiary pussy. That's it. But girl, something about Pablo. He real confident and political. He took me to meet his parole officer. Mm-hmm. Plus, girl, Bambi be eating apple pieces out the palm of his hand. And you know I checked his rap sheet. Girl, right up online, right up on the internet. www.jailbird.com. He's so crazy. It was right up there. It said possession of narcotic with intent to distribute heroin and cocaine class A felony, so he didn't lie. He said they locked him up for committing a crime against poverty. I said, crime against poverty? Well, let me think about that one. I mean, he knows he was wrong selling drugs. But on the real though, ma, if the government was really serious about ending the war on drugs, they wouldn't keep coming after the petty street foot soldiers or the low-ranking commandos, you know what I mean? Because soon as you lock one up, it's going to be another one to hit the block and take the spot. They just going to keep coming back like roaches. You got to cut off the head operations, the suppliers and shit. Yo, think about it, ma. With all of this top-of-the-line 007 Matrix-type I-spy shit the government got, they could probably see me, you sitting right here having a conversation right now, mommy. I was reading something the other day in the New York Times. Because you know I read the New York Times. And on Tuesday, they got the science section. And they got a camera that looks like a bumblebee, ma. A fucking bumblebee. So you think it's a bug or a fly buzzing around? Your ass is under surveillance. They got shit like that. So you mean to tell me they don't know when they can't see who's shipping what in, who's flying what in, who's supplying what to who? You know, think about it, mommy. The only reason why drugs are still rocking and flowing It's because old Glory is in on the cut. The financial benefits from the drug economy is too great to shut this shit down. This is a capitalist country, ma. Drug money, blood money, is still money. As long as that shit accumulates and circulates by any means necessary. This the wild, wild west. So I figured, when in Rome, do it the Romans. Word up. Girl, ain't he something? I know. I mean, what he's saying is right, even though selling drugs is wrong. And the way I look at it, I mean, we didn't all sin and kiss the devil at least once. Ain't nobody exempt from that. I mean, it's about redemption, not perfection. Because even the cops and the lawmakers be the lawbreakers sometimes. Girl, look at Congress. Half of them is fucking intern hoes, married, mouthing off about morality, and the other half of them is probably getting high off of the drugs that they mandatory sentencing niggas for selling. Mm-hmm. Poppy, honey, I'm telling you, be dropping mad politics, girl. We be having deep conversations. Yes, he be getting heated. He is real mad passionate. I like his take on things. Because it's definitely a war, all right. I mean, prisons are jumping off the damn hook like Jiffy, providing the main source of economy for these upstate trailer park, windmill, rural, dairy white communities. All the while, politicians are filling their constituency bellies with nigga snacks. Nigga, what? Nigga snacks. Because, girl, we are a nutritional treat. As soon as a prison is built, it provides steady year-round employment, not to mention all the diners and the restaurants that's making more money because you got more people coming upstate to visit their loved ones, plus all the people living in these communities. They wasn't really earning no real income or nothing like that until, what, the prison got built. So now you got, what, Billy Bob, Mary Jo, Jimmy Reddy, all are now government employees. They earning a very nice coin, complete with pensions, benefits, and all that nice fluffy shit. So where it was once just a country dirt road is now a newly constructed strip mall to meet the demand of the entire community, girl, which has miraculously increased their earning power thanks to the prison. The whole community gets a facelift. And, girl, this is some fascinating shit. The government money for districts is based upon the number of people living in a district. So these underpopulated rural white towns get to count the number of inmates in their census. So on paper, it looks like they have more residents than they actually do. Therefore, they get more money from the state to build their healthcare clinics, community centers, playgrounds, basketball courts, all that nice shit. Our nigga snack numbers help all these rural white communities get that money, but it don't benefit our neighborhoods where the niggas come from. So while the yeehaws is celebrating, this orchestrated nigga dragnet demolition policy leaves our communities tore up from the floor up. Families broken up, money going to these rural towns, and our voting power shrinks. Because, bust it, girl, when you come home, you're going to be working. And if you're working, you know you're going to have to pay Uncle Sam his taxes because you know that gangster going to take his coin straight off the top. Okay, so now, because you probably still going to be on parole for a minute, means you're not going to be able to vote. But because you're working, you're still paying taxes. So that's taxation without representation, baby. That's why they come looking for us, stopping and frisking us. We straight cash money crops. And some of these towns have more inmates than residents. Can you imagine? More inmates than residents. Child, crime does pay for certain people and certain communities. Mm-hmm. Yes, honey. Child. This war on drugs is a trip. Mm-hmm. You know I be going in on the Rockefeller drug laws. Honey, when I show Pablo my little pie chart I made with all my little statistics and everything, he was so impressed. He took out a piece of paper and a pen. He started taking some notes. I was like, ooh, Pablo. Well, I'm feeling you feeling me. When I told him that in New York State, not the city, but the entire state, the majority of drug dealers is white. But out of all the drug offenders locked up, Something like 95% is black and locked up in New York State prisons. The majority is black and Latino. They doing the crime, but we the ones serving the time. Girl, I started kicking my funky bobo. You could have fried an egg on his head and boiled some soup. He was so mad. See that? Yeah, see that? See, that's that bullshit. That's what I'm talking about. All right, so now the way you just broke it down, mathematically, you know what I'm saying? I'm just a pawn in the main criminal's war strategy. Yo, ma, these white motherfuckers been playing dirty, though. You ain't really saying nothing new, because you know the Constitution says that slavery is illegal except for punishment of a crime. You peep the motherfucking loophole, except for punishment of a crime. So if you commit a crime, then you become a legal slave. Yeah, that's the okie doke. Yo, think about it, ma. Back in slavery time, right, a nigga had to work for free. He ain't have no say in the matter. That was it. Law. White motherfuckers caking off of all that free labor for 100 of years. No payroll, straight profit. Now that's a hustler's dream, baby. Ooh. But when slavery ended, a nigga could sit down and relax, try to get his mind right. He ain't have to do shit for the white man. So what the cracker do, ma? They made laws making it a crime to not have a job. Crazy shit like you could get arrested for laughing or looking them in the eye, anything a cracker said you did. The black codes, real devil type shit. So now all of a sudden, the black man is getting locked up feverishly, you heard? The motherfucker slave master, he ain't got no more slaves, but now he could get him some convicts and make them do work, slave work for free, legally. Same nigga, same job, same zero pay, just a different job title. Yeah, mommy, you ain't know about that. Yeah, I be reading up on a lot of deep informative shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't read them hood drama books. My life is more fascinating anyway. Shit, I need to write a book, you heard? I seek knowledge, because I'm a different type of dude like that. Yeah. So now look at the shit today, ma. Mad niggas is locked up. We convicted legal slaves. These ain't nothing but old war games, mommy. I got to give it to the white man, though. He mad strategic with his shit. You know what I'm saying? War on drugs is really a war on me. So technically, that makes me a POWOD. I'm a prisoner of the war on drugs. Yeah. So where's my flag? Where's my motherfucking flag? Word up. Girl, God bless the internet. Call me Google Mommy. Honey, yes, I be up on that motherfucker. What you saying? Girl, this prison shit really is slavery. Like, it ain't a metaphor. I mean, they got this shit hooked up. It's a damn racket. No, it's a cash cow. Some of these prisons are privately owned. Yes, girl, private companies, corporations own some of these prisons, meaning I could go down on Wall Street today and I can invest in a private prison and I can make some money off of your black ass sitting right here, right now. And think I haven't thought about it? Girl, the privatization of prisons is financially driven, accumulating huge profits up in this piece. Rest assured, all y'all niggas ain't up in here for punishment. Most of y'all is up in here for profit. As a matter of fact, they got a private company over in England that owns two private prisons here in America. This prison industrial complex is indeed international, baby. Everybody's in on the American prison gravy train. Companies get to hire cheap labor without the nuisance of labor unions and sick pay, workers' comp, and all that shit. It's a corporate wet dream, an economic orgasm. Mm-hmm. Inmates working for pennies, making... Y'all making products for 15, 20 cents an hour like it's Taiwan. Made in prison is the new China. Well, if we're at war, which we most certainly are, I done earned my stripes. I done served my country to thee very well during these war times, supporting our street soldiers in the hood, formerly in the trenches on the front lines of Red Hook, Bed-Stuy, Queensbridge, Harlem World, Boogie Down Bronx, Gun Hill Road. You feel me, girl? I'm serving that Yankee Doodle motherfucking dandy up in this piece. I'm a true patriot. And in the tradition of wartime divas, I, too, give encouragement and inspiration for our POWODs and our GI government inmates. This CO, I know at Rikers, he told me they took a poll, and I was voted number one, not number two, number one, prison industrial complex pinup, winning over Nicki Minaj, Rihanna, and Beyonce. Yes, I beat them bitches. I was shocked. I don't know. I guess they liked how I was posed on top of pile of commissary bags with my fist in the air. Yeah, you know, sexy and political. Shut up. So, Bussin' Girl, when I told Pablo, I said, look, I ain't never rode no horse. I ain't never milked no cow. I ain't rung no chicken neck in green pastures or nothing shit like that. Girl, he was appalled. He told me I had been neglected. He's so precious. He said he wants to show me things I've never seen before. He said he wants to take me upstate to meet his personal Bambi. I said, boo-boo, if there's one place I have been and seen, it's upstate. Trust me on that. I have seen many a breathtaking countryside. Eastern Correctional Facility is beautiful, magical, I tell you. The outside of the facility looks like a 17th century castle, absolutely enchanting. Bedford Hills, the mountains are simply divine, so majestic they kiss the sky. The Hudson River shimmers by Sing Sing, sparkling like glitter or diamonds dancing in the sunlight. Mohawk Correctional is awesome in the fall. A painted forest, a spectacular pageant of neon pink and orange and Bordeaux colored leaves. Elmira's manicured lawns are adorned with delightful horticultural arrangements and looks like a fancy college, trimmed with shiny barbed wire. Ah, Green Haven's landscape is a glorious tableau of plush foliage adorning the cobblestone path leading towards the entrance, flanked by two tremendous fortress towers. Woodburn's weeping willows and pine trees are like something out of a Lord of the Rings movie. It's simply beautiful. You name the mountain, the hillside, and a rural town, I know the prison and the bus route. Betsy LaQuan de Ross, I am your prison GPS. Thank you.